You can run, but you can't hide. The Chucko Celli Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, come on. You can always run and you can always hide. It just might not work out well for you. Anyways, before we get to Larry Hancock and the very interesting capper on this week's Chucko Celli Show, which will be the last show of the week and the last hour of the week starting now, here we go. I'm going to just say that I was listening to the news break along with you guys at home or wherever you are, wherever you may be, whenever you may be. And I took notice of an interesting headline there about, well, Russians are now blocked from Facebook and Twitter. I guess they did them a favor. Anyways, the anti-social media, it's not really necessary. Look, I'm making jokes, but strange, strange land we are in, my friends. Anyway, Dave is still with me, and we're gonna just have a little fun. Why not? And we can always do that if we turn to the news. God help us all. In Florida. So, Dave, I know you got some Florida stories. You might have some other stuff, but we've done this before, and it's always weird what happens when people get involved in strange situations and happen to be naked. Nature Boys, Naked News on the Chucko Celli Show.
Good news on the Chucko Celli Show, yes. All right, I wish I could say that I did this, but our old friend BP was the first one to do this, and it just caught fire. It's just a funny way to look at the moronic behaviors of our fellow humans. So I have a few of them here. I'm going to start with this first one right now. I'm just going to read the headline out from you. Naked Florida man starts house fire while baking cookies on George Foreman grill.
Oh, wow. Right. Okay. Wait. Because, okay, you know, turn your critical thought process to this, please. You listening. Because, first of all, before we get to naked, a George Foreman grill, I mean, basically a hot iron. That's all the George Foreman grill is, just a bit of a hot iron you heat up with electricity. I mean, no matter what form they put it in, no matter what infomercial it was, you're going to bake cookies on a hot iron. I mean, that's almost like, you know, a prison mentality there where, you know, it's like you're making grilled cheese on a radiator. I mean, that's strange to begin with. Then you're doing it naked. Look, cooking while naked, I'm not saying I've never done it, but...
It could be a risky proposition, especially if you're frying chicken.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm thinking to myself, and I do love some fried chicken, I got to tell you. But, I mean, you're handling knives, right? You're handling forks. You're handling hot stuff. And you don't even want to have clothing in between you and a possible spill, accident, miscalculation.
A drop knife.
That's something. Anyway, I'm sorry to have interrupted you, though, Dave. I had these thoughts, and I had to share them. Please continue.
Not a problem. I'm just going to read this. It's a short article here. So as opposed to me opining on it, I'm just going to read it verbatim. According to the offense report from the police department, the man showed no sign of understanding the dangers he was in. There were several things on fire inside the home, including some towels. This will come into play later. An officer detained the man and removed him from his house for his own safety. Firefighters says that if he had stayed in the home much longer, he could have possibly died from smoke inhalation. In the report, an officer said he and another officer were in their house for about 5 minutes and had a hard time breathing. Firefighters went back inside with oxygen masks and removed the burning items. The man admitted to drinking 2 liters of vodka and smoking marijuana starting at 9 a.m. in the morning. New definition to wake and bake. He was examined at the scene and had no life-threatening injuries, the report said. He refused further medical treatment. Based on the fire department's investigation, the man allegedly tried baking cookies on a George Foreman grill, which he left unattended. The grill and cookies caught fire. So here it comes. He put dry towels on top of the grill. Those caught fire too, causing the fire to spread. End quote.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Just you wake and bake and bake and try to bake because apparently, I'm not passing judgment here. You want to get high in your own home, do it. But I would not advise attempting confectionery, feats.
I think the marijuana probably wasn't the issue. What I think was that he drank 2 liters of vodka. Oh, Lord, that's alcohol poisoning levels. So, yeah, and I'm sure smoking a joint or 2 or 3 or 6 or whatever probably didn't help. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, Chuck.
No, it's fair enough. We're going to interrupt each other during this because, I mean, this just provokes a great deal of thought, sir. And so throwing a towel on something, it's preferable when you're dealing with a grease fire. And I don't know, I guess potentially he could have had that thought, like, you know, you smother a grease fire, right? I mean, okay. Or was he using grease? I mean, you know, we didn't get the recipe from this guy. I'm sure the story doesn't tell you that. I mean, and also, what kind of cookies? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts here. And, oh,
chocolate
Florida.
Chip cookies.
Chocolate chips.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, people can be morons. I mean, never underestimate the stupidity of the human condition, because the minute you do, the minute somebody else is going to come out and blow that whole theory. It's like Frank on Shameless. Just when you think he's gone as low can be, nah, he's going to take it to another level of low.
You know, one time I saw in Jersey, a guy totally burn up his apartment, and like, you know, he wasn't naked, so, you know, it's not related, but a guy totally burned up his apartment. He lived by himself. He got, you know, him and his dog outside, the dog's barking at everybody, and the guy's standing there whining, and I assumed intoxication as well. So, you know, not exclusive to Florida, but whining and getting mad at like the cops and the firefighters and stuff, because, hey man, my chicken is still in there. This is another guy with a cooking accent. And, hey, you left my chicken in there. He wanted his fried chicken that he just burnt up his house over. I mean, I get it. You want to eat, you know, I mean, it's you want to eat no matter what. I mean, fire or not, you're going to want to eat something. But, hello?
Your chicken is what you're worried about. Hey, man. And your house is burning down with everything you own in it. Well, just another moron. They come in all flavors, all sizes, and all states, but somehow Florida seems to get a majority of them. I don't know why.
But they do congregate there, but it's not like they're all originally from there. I mean, that's just the fact of Florida. So anyway, you got some more?
Yeah, I do. I do. Okay. And this is just another statement on the fine standing of our legal profession, you know, the ones that take the bar exams, the ones that are in politicians, the ones that make our laws.
The upstanding law. Citizens who are supposed to be acting legally, lawfully, and all above board at all times. Yeah, those people, that society, sure. Which, by the by, I just want to, for the listeners' notes here, I had the documentation on what Dave was reading from before, very important documentation in the second hour that we talked about regarding the vaccination. But these things are a total surprise to me as he brings them up to you. So you and I are hearing them both. If you're hearing this for the first time, maybe you're hearing the podcast, which is available at TNTradio.live. But you might be hearing the podcast as this is being recorded and broadcast. I'm hearing this for the first time. I have no idea whatever else Dave has. So is much of a mystery to me as where he's going to go next as it is to you. So please, by all means, the Bar Association, legal people, lawyers, those upstanding fine citizens who charge you hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars per hour, depending on what you can avoid, engage in legal things. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is out of Tampa, Florida, and it comes from WFLA.com. And it's a local, I believe, NBC news affiliate down there. Headline. Lawyers strip naked at St. Pete Beach Bar, refuse to put on clothes, deputies say.
Okay, hold up, because a beach bar. First of all, it is what it sounds like, a bar on a beach. Okay. Sometimes these things are small, freestanding, or it's the back part of a bar, which, you know, actually goes all the way out to a street. And you have these things in shore-lined areas all the time. And it's pretty interesting. And generally speaking, you don't see people that are naked. I mean, sometimes scantily dressed, depending on the weather and all that good stuff. I mean, obviously, you don't do this in the dead of winter, like, say, in the Northeast, when there's snow and ice on the ground. And you definitely, I mean, well, there are some people who do get naked in the snow and ice, but maybe that'll be on the next edition of Naked News. So go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
And by the way, judging from the picture of her, it's probably not, she should keep her clothes on. Let's just leave it at that. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Not enough war paint can fix that one. But another story, different day. I'm just going to continue on with this. Deputies were called, or Tampa, Florida. Authorities said a drunken woman stripped naked in front of patrons inside a bar at St. Pete Beach. Who said that time's fast? St. Pete Beach. After the manager refused to serve her. Deputies were called to the beach lounge and billiards at about 2:15 a.m. Friday morning and found Kelly Elkins, quote, unclothed and completely naked, end quote, the affidavit said. Several people were in the bar at the time. According to the report, Elkins had arrived at the bar already, quote, intoxicated to the point the manager refused to serve her, end quote. Police said they told Elkins to get dressed several times, but she had only put on a hoodie and kept the zipper down. She refused to put on pants, saying that she was too tired to do so, police said. Sorry, I'm having a hard time not laughing here. Elkins was arrested for disorderly conduct, booked in the Pinellas County Jail, and later released on her own recognizance. Online jail records show she was arrested the day before on a charge of obtaining food or lodging with the intent to defraud. Elkins' LinkedIn page says she is a licensed attorney. She is still listed as a member in good standing on the Florida Bar's website. End of article.
Well, again, it makes sense in Florida. All right. And some people could say, maybe we don't know the whole story. I mean, was there something going on? Notice that there's always some level of intoxication involved. See, and my general advice to people so that you don't wind up in one of these news stories, not because you'll get naked, but you might be in proximity to somebody who's just dying to get naked and looking for an excuse to do it in a completely inappropriate setting. You might be just in close proximity. You might not even know them. I know everybody's supposed to be social distancing, Dave, but the thing is, you can't socially distance from stupid because you don't see it coming. Anyway, it's fascinating to me because you got public intoxication, which generally speaking, against the different policies in your locale, usually, and you have a bit of a disturbing the peace. You have public indecency. You have all these things, bunch of misdemeanor charges mostly, but
right.
I've seen people lose jobs at grocery stores for getting in this kind of trouble, which, you know, also leads to what kind of fine do you give somebody? I have that question too. What kind of fine do you give somebody?
I'm sure they have disorderly, they have the laws down. So I'm sure the judges know what to fine them. Unless like California, we'll just release you. You're fine. Don't worry about it, man. You know,
yeah, but sentencing standing, you know, standards in different jurisdictions. When you study it about serious crimes, I mean, there's serious debates about it and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, what do you do for nakedness? Exactly. I mean, do you charge based on trauma reported by witnesses? I mean, do you charge by the inch? Do you charge by the body part? And there is a hierarchy of body parts which have been exposed. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, like if I was trying to write these laws, I don't know what way I would go. You have any opinion, Dave?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on TV. No, just kidding.
Fair enough. No, and she really is a lawyer, so
yeah.
Is there any more to that story?
I'm, I'm not one for social distancing, but I'd be social distancing from that woman, especially if she was naked, because crazy.
Fair enough.
Is crazy.
We are certainly not being politically correct today. So you got some
crazy
more.
Is as crazy does as the movie from Tom Hanks said so much. No, it's just crazy out there. You know, the stuff people do. And the one thing that I've seen doing these is, yes, intoxication. You don't find sober people doing this stuff. And generally, it involves a high level of alcohol and methamphetamine. Something about them tweakers. They like to do stupid stuff and take off their clothes. So, yeah, that's about all for that story. I have some more if you like. That's
fair, though. You got something else, though?
I do. This is a little different. This is more of a tragedy story. And this
naked
goes to
tragedy.
Police misconduct. So I just stumbled across this, so I thought I'd just put it aside. It's Florida department says an officer thought he was deploying a stun gun when a naked man was shot seriously and wounded. And this comes from The Hill. And I'm not sure exactly where this was located. If this was in Florida or not, doesn't give anything on the byline. But what happened is his initial review suggests that a Hollywood, Florida, it's this Hollywood police officer who shot a naked man in the back last summer intended to deploy his taser instead of his firearm, according to a statement released by the police department. Gee, Chuck, when have we heard that excuse before?
No, I've definitely heard that before. And look, I don't find it funny when anybody gets shot, but at the same time, I want to hear the circumstances, how this came together, because of course it's in Florida. You know, if you're listening in some other part of the world, I want you to understand something about Florida. It's not like the rest of America. Okay, it is not. I mean, there are common threads and people move in and out of that state. I mean, we didn't wall it off yet. You know, it hasn't fallen into the ocean yet, but I don't know what to say. Florida is Florida. So anyway, Hollywood, Florida, a naked man shot in the back by a police officer thinking they were deploying a taser. Again, if I'm that cop, I'm feeling pretty bad. And the EMT showing up to this scene. I mean, well, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the guy shot. I feel bad for really this is kind of a downer, Dave. What are you doing to me here? A real downer. I thought we were going to have fun.
I've got another one that's kind of an upbeat one, but I just kind of thought I'd throw this one out there. I guess what happened the officers respond on July 3rd to assist the fire department. Ortiz, the victim, called 911 reporting chest pains and the ingestion of narcotics. So what they're doing is he was acting delusional and making suicidal statements. The cops showed up. Ortiz was exiting the apartment on the sixth floor while naked, quote, combative with the paramedics and visually agitated, according to the police. When officers arrived, they tasered him and placed him in restraints, per the statement. As officers attempted to move him into the elevator to get him downstairs to the waiting stretcher and the rescue vehicle outside, Mr. Ortiz used his legs to resist being placed inside the small elevator, the statement read. As he continued to resist, an officer discharged his firearm, striking Mr. Ortiz once. Officers and fire rescue personnel moved Mr. Ortiz to the elevator so that they could take him downstairs for the initial treatment and transported him to the hospital. So that's kind of what happened on this one. Just another cop shot an innocent person for no reason. And it happens time and time and time again. And they don't really say what became of this because it's an initial report, but probably not a lot. I mean, there'll be a civil suit, but I don't think that cop will be prosecuted for anything. But I'll tell you what, if you and I were to do that, you or I as private citizens, we would be looking at some serious jail time.
Well, I tell you, I don't go out much, Dave. I got to be honest with you. But, and you know this, but The thing is, for the listener's sake, I don't go out much, but I'll tell you, if I were to venture out of my house and, you know, on my property somewhere was just somebody naked, I may indeed be tended, you know, have a tendency to wish to stand my ground. You know, like just naked guy randomly out there. And you know what's funny? I don't actually object to this, like, morally about, you know, just people naked. It's a weird subject for me, but based on general societal conventions, one would think that this doesn't happen very often, that, you know, people do this, but you and I have covered, you know, a naked carjacker, a naked home invader. We've covered, I mean, random lawyer at the beach bar. I mean, look, there's no end to the strangeness. And yes, indeed, most of it does happen in Florida. Full disclaimer, not my fault that it's an open air insane asylum. You know, and it is this a neighbor state to where I sit, Dave. I mean, thankfully, you're all the way on the other side of the country. But
it's not much different, brother. I live in California, you know, the United Soviet Republic of California. Yeah. You talk about crazies. We got our share out here, especially in the government and the political offices. Another story, different day.
Well, yeah, true. And don't leave out Los Angeles, because the city of angels. I tried to live there for a couple of months, and I, you know what, as much as I'm a thick-skinned person, I feel, and as much as I'm, you know, one of these people who kind of believes a civil libertarian, basically, like, you know, if you're not hurting me, I don't care what you do. I could not hack the people of Los Angeles. It's like it's from another planet. Just saying.
Years ago in the 90s, I did about a 6-month contract at Universal Studios. So basically, I lived in Seattle. I'd fly down there, fly down what I call the Disneyland Express, spend my week in the Universal Studios, fly home. Yeah, Chuck, I agree with you. L.A., Hollywood. Oh, my word. Oh. You talk about,
well, look, when you build something on a tar pit, okay, what do you expect to survive? Anyway, I expect to survive at least past this break, which is coming up, because we are at about the half hour mark of the last hour of the last show of this week for the Chuck Ocelli Show on TNT Radio. But with the last half hour, we'll see. I don't know. Larry Hancock might have been held up because he had a dental appointment. I know that earlier in the day, and something might have gone awry. I was really looking forward to talking UFOs with him, but perhaps if there are more Chuck Ocelli shows in the future, we'll get to that, because he's written a very interesting book about the national security mechanisms, reactions to UFOs, etc., called Unidentified, and I'll get into that with him at some point on this show or, you know, somewhere. And the fact is that we just may hold you over, Dave, and give a recap of the week. Talk about that if Larry doesn't show up, but otherwise we'll come back on the other side and see if Larry arrives. What do you say, Dave? Sounds like a plan?
Sounds like a plan, Stan. I got the day off, so let's roll.
All right, and let's keep on rolling here on TNT, today's news talk. We'll be back after this.
When a crisis hits close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Honoring. Protecting. Caring. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
The ones that matter most are the children. There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn. Attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care.
As a father, I feel very good about leaving my kids here, and they have way more opportunities here.
I can come on campus and I can feel the good vibes, and the children, they can really grow.
Together, we are giving Lakota children brighter futures and a proud connection to their past. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
Chuck O'Chelly on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So we'll close out the week here on the Chuck O'Chelly Show by recapping the week a little bit, because I have the American producer of the show with me today. The reason why I call him the American producer of the show is because he works directly with me to come up with what it is we have presented here on the very first week. So I want to see how he feels about it. Actually, I haven't asked him this question, even though we have plenty of private conversations a day regarding what's going on and what we plan to do, et cetera, et cetera. So, Dave, you know, I know it's been eventful this week. Certainly we've had our issues about this and that and the third thing. I've had sound issues, et cetera. Look, I'm settling in. I'm doing the best I can, honestly. You know, interesting week. We started off, you know, with a bit of a solo rant, and then got into coverage of Ukraine, got into quite a few other things. I mean, you think about any highlights this week, what you think went well, what didn't? Talk to me, man. What are your thoughts on what we've been able to do this week?
Well, yeah. Anytime you start any type of show or project like this, there's always a learning curve until you get into the flow. And we've had our challenges this week, but I think that we have overcome them. And let's just say that I'm a little tired, but that's okay. I never shy away from a good challenge. And this is just the beginning phases of it. We're going to get into the flow, and we're going to continue to bring some good information. Hopefully, you know, to bring people, guests, and viewpoints that you're not necessarily going to hear everywhere else. When everybody else is kind of going over the current events, we want to kind of bring you something different, maybe from a different angle, maybe go back into the history instead of concentrating on the event that's happening right now that's in the news, or I call it distraction du jour. Let's go back and find out how we got here. Let's listen to different voices who have different ideas, and let the listener decide and try to figure out where we are and get a better understanding of what's happening now. I've got a lot of guests. We both have a lot of guests coming up. I mean, next week we're going to do a deep dive interview with an interesting guy. It's going to be next Tuesday. His name is Celi Castillo. And if anybody has not heard of this man, you're going to, and you need to. He's a former DEA agent that was part of the DEA in South America during the Iran-Contra. And he wrote a whistleblower book. And by the way, Celi Castillo, when you think about the epitome of an honest officer, an honest, true American, this is him. And he wrote a book called Powder Burns, which is a whistleblower book. And it's unique from many other ones, because other people will research of this book or that or this. No, his was written from direct experience of how he saw at these bases in South America, right, that he was stationed at, major cocaine smuggling, major arms smuggling. And it was all part of the cocaine arms connection that fueled the Contra war down in South America, which violated the Bull and Axe very, that's very meaning. It was a illegal war. So if
well, right. And in addition to that, Dave, just to give people another little hint about him in case they're going to look him up, Vietnam veteran, you know, former police officer. Sorry.
And a sniper, no less.
Oh yeah. No. Look, there's lots of details here, but the thing is, just to give a quick overview, former police officer, also just in, I think it was New York, if I remember the story correctly. I mean, I read his book several years ago. I've talked to him a few times over the years, and really the epitome of a guy who went into a service and found himself, well, amidst people that were not only complicit in the thing that he was supposed to be fighting, but participating in the thing he was supposed to be fighting left and right. You know, what are you going to do? Selly's an amazing guy. I don't want to give too many other previews because you never know what you're going to get on this show. And that's where I'm at. Now, that's going to be a focused show, hopefully. And you know, so long as my brain doesn't ooze out of the sides of my ears at some point, which it could, you know, you never know. Tomorrow's never promised, is it? It could happen today.
I could walk out. And,
no, I'm not taking the shot, by the way. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I said I could walk out the front door, get hit in the head by a stray bullet. Who knows? So today,
well, you don't live in my neighborhood. Anyway,
no, but I've been to your neighborhood. You haven't been to
you
mine.
Have.
Trust me,
no,
hearing
no,
gunshots in the distance is not uncommon where I live.
Yeah, but these guys are right here. I mean, anyway. So, no, Selly's a fascinating character all the way around. Of course, he co-authored that book with an interesting gentleman as well. I might get into that with him. But a few little-known facts just really quickly. He was also a source for Gary Webb.
Yes.
Okay. A source for a couple of people who have, you know, decided to investigate the complicity of the U.S. government in the drug trade, okay? Because he witnessed it. And not only witnessed it, but tried to stop it. And, you know, at a certain point, not only did this guy wind up shaking the hands of the vice president, George H.W. Bush, and try and tell him about it to his face, which he got, you know, I'll let him tell that story. But, you know, it didn't go badly, but it, well, it was odd. Okay.
Odd story.
But not only that, but at a certain point, he gets sent out into the field as an undercover operative and finds out that, well, frankly, his bosses knew that a hit was out on him, you know, risked his life, not just in Vietnam, by the way, you know, knew his bosses knew that there was a hit out on him and kind of just let him out there to hang just in case. You know, maybe we could shut this guy down. I mean, honestly, that's the only way to interpret your bosses let you go out when you got a target on your back and they don't tell you. Okay.
Kind of a Serpico type of a thing. Anybody familiar with Serpico in the New York Police Department, Narcotics Division? Another little great story of history.
No, certainly true. And look, I'm not making any more statements about that because, again, that book has been out there for a while. And if you don't know about Celie Castillo, I guess you never watched, I don't know, the so many documentaries. Check the IMDb that he has been, again, a source for. A guy making those statements. You know, when you see somebody's name come up, Celie Castillo comes up a lot during those things. And he's also a good guy, generally speaking. I mean, I've talked to him about things like his family and stuff like that. This is a good man who tried to serve a purpose, serve his country, make this a better place to live in, and was betrayed. So
very much
you know
betrayed,
me well enough, Dave, to know that I got a serious soft spot for guys who, you know, again, went in with good intent, went in with the proper moral character to serve a purpose, to make things better, and wind up finding out that maybe the system itself is not entirely with them. Anyhow, there's that. And you know, we did some interesting things this week. I mean, corporate spying, the discussion with Larry Hancock, of course, who didn't show up today. But like I said, I mean, something must have happened. That's the first time ever that Larry has not shown up for an appointment with me. So, and I kind of know what's going on there. But awesome author there who has also appeared on the show this week. You know, Kerbeck, like I said, you had Charlie Robinson talking about the CIA and the big tech and all
Charlie's
that good,
good
stuff.
Charlie's good. Yeah, you know, Charlie's good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I'm just saying there's been a variety of things here, yes?
We really covered kind of a good variety or good sampling of what we're going to do here in the future. One of my favorites, though, man, I really like listening to Kip Contran, the head of the People's Convoy, and just hearing his voice and what they're doing to go out there to basically stand up to the tyranny, not tyranny, that's probably an overused word, but to stand up for the rights of Americans and just address our grievances in a law abiding manner. But what a spectacle once all those trucks get down there. Could you imagine seeing, being on the side of the highway and seeing 10,000 trucks roll by hour after hour? That's a pretty impressive thing. So good on this.
And to spotlight that, you know, and to spotlight that on this show and talk about it. I mean, look, it's that is not unique. That's the kind of thing that you need to learn about. Frontline Truckers, of course, the organization, which, by the way, is not the same as some of these other convoys. There are multiple convoys that people are attempting to bring to Washington, D.C. In order to, yes, lawfully, peacefully, working even in conjunction with law enforcement. And you know, another thing that we didn't mention, which ties together, or even though it was on a different day, is the state senator from New Hampshire, the Republican state senator there. And that gentleman who's getting $100 a year to serve his country too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good, I mean, that was another one because he was a true, honest politician who is looking after his constituents, not looking after himself, not looking after special interests. And in this day and age, that is fairly rare or very rare, depending on how you look at it. And it's nice to know that there are still some honest, legitimate politicians out there looking out after our interests.
Yeah, fair enough. And look, I just, you know, it's been an interesting week for sure. We've tried to stay with some current events and some current knowledge. And again, couple of times I just, you know, sat here and spoke to Bob Guida is that guy's name, by the way, who, you know, is he's been there, what, 6 years, I think. Anyway, getting $100 a year to try and do the people's business. I mean, he's not in it for the money. You know, everybody's a human, by the way. I mean, I'm not trying to say that we just have people that should be celebrated. But when good works are in progress, I think we need to look at them as well, along with the horror, the carnage, the terrible things, and all of that. Be aware of all of it happening and examine it all for yourself. I mean, that is the point of me doing this kind of thing. And it's not about me. It's really about the information. It's about the texture of the experience and trying to, I know people don't like the word diverse sometimes, but to make it as diverse and, you know, interesting and revealing as possible, because quite frankly, you do not get that from, well, most of the bought and paid for corporate media who, you know, like we were talking about Big Pharma here, related to Pfizer and all that. I mean, take a look at who sponsors, who's paying the bills at a lot of these, you know, Alphabet, not the Alphabet agencies, but the Alphabet businesses out there that are supposedly giving you the news. And that goes across the board, ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, PBS even, although it's usually, you know, grants from the U.S. government and people like you and also Charles Koch and all these other organizations. All right. You take a look at who pays the bills.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that is that's very telling. And you take a look at who pays the bills when it comes to the politicians and you wonder who the taskmasters are regarding their actions sometimes. But anyway, that's something else for another day where we might get into political corruption. We might get into the intelligence agencies and all that good stuff, because there is always plenty of action going on in the dark that needs to be brought into the light. So with that in mind, as we get ready to close out, because I got the last quarter hour of the last hour of the Chuck O'Chelly show here to marshal our way through, Dave, if you don't mind, and I don't know if you're still up for it, but I wouldn't mind. You said you had one more naked news story, did you?
I think I do. Hopefully I did not. Oh, yeah, I do still do have it up here. All right. Let's get back to a little bit of Nature Boys Naked News.
Nature Boys Naked News. And again, this is kind of a treat because I don't think we're going to do this every week. But look, I believe in a bit of news, a bit of education, and a bit of entertainment, too, because there is no reason why we should just constantly drone on about the very same complaints all day long. It creates a mindset that you don't want to always find yourself in. So for people who are sitting there saying, why is this guy doing stupid stuff like this? Look, I'm going to decompress when I turn this microphone off, and I want you to do the same thing. I really do. Unplug. Get away. Don't sit there and just focus on the horror, the carnage, the terrible things. Man's inhumanity to man. If you do that all day long and that's all you do, well, you know, that along with the isolation, along with the desperation, along with the, well, you might find yourself as a naked news story, and you don't want that. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think it's important, you know, just to, before I get to this, kind of tap on what you just said. It's important to step away from the electronic world, because overall it's a very toxic world. And what I like to do is no screen time. I'll put on some music, maybe listen to a podcast, or maybe have nothing going on at all, and just kind of let my brain decompress. Maybe go out, walk down to the river, go for a walk, spend time with friends, have a good conversation that doesn't relate to the constant droning and droning of the leading and bleeding news. Because let's face it, if it bleeds, it leads. If it thinks, it stinks. So, and by the way, everybody, take those cell phones and occasionally put them down and walk away. So with that being said, let's finish up the last article that I have here. And I purposely, everybody, searched Florida for these things. They are all over the country, but for some reason, I just like Florida. Which, by
so
the
this
way,
is literally Florida. Nature Boys Naked News on this particular, you know, day.
Yes.
Florida Special Edition here on the Chuck O'Chelly Show. I can't do your voice, man. I just got to tell you.
And I can't do yours. I can't do that rough voice. I mean, I sound like a moron if I try to do that.
Yeah, well, you know what you do is you get yourself a little bit of surgery on your throat and then also have somebody try and pull a straight razor across it at one point in your life, and you might sound like me too. All right, good. Sorry.
Thanks, but no thanks. Okay. Florida Keys homeowner finds naked burglar in bathtub. Jeffrey David Hans, 24, was arrested Wednesday on burglary and property damage charges after the break-in on Summerland Key, Monroe County Sheriff Office officials said. And anybody that is not familiar with the Keys are a series of islands off the tip of Florida. And when somebody, let's just say that is a little weird, kind of like me, but I don't have the money to move down there, this is where they go to get away from civilization. I mean, it is weird, isolated, Jimmy Buffett territory completely. So if you like margaritas in Margaritaville, it's a good place to get one. But I digress. Forgive me. A Florida Keys burglary suspect was arrested after a homeowner found him naked in his bathtub. Officials said the homeowner was at a neighbor's house when he received a motion alert on his phone's home security app. A camera at the home showed Hans trying to open the front door before he's seen walking towards a window, officials said. The homeowner went back to his house where he retrieved a firearm and found Hans naked in the bathroom tub. A deputy responded to a 911 call and found Hans surrounded by the homeowner and neighbors. The deputy found one of the home's windows damaged and retrieved the camera footage, which collaborated the homeowner's version of events. Hans was arrested and taken to jail. Attorney information was not available. End of story. Well, how these people naked in a bathtub. It didn't mention anything about drugs or alcohol, but you can pretty rest assured I think a little bit of that was involved.
Yeah, it didn't mention mental illness, I don't think, exactly. So, I mean, that's a possibility as well, right? I mean, just...
Your head ain't right if you just walk into somebody's house and get naked and just jump in their bathtub. Your head ain't right. You ain't right, people. You ain't right.
There is something confusing you if this seems like a rational act. I mean, Look, there is no end to the strangeness in the wonderful state of Florida. That's funny. Florida, you know, Sunshine State, the home of the oranges and all that good stuff, right? But definitely way out there, kind of strange. And again, much more close to me geographically than you. But you have your own strangeness right in your backyard. So it is what it is.
Look, that's what it is.
People are different everywhere.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, I'm reporting on this, and I don't want anybody to get the expression, especially people out of America, that is a true representation of this country, because it's not. You can't take a small minority of any population and brand an entire population with that, although it's done a lot. It was done with Trump supporters. I mean, and just for the record, I am not a Trump supporter, but nonetheless, facts are facts. The media, which is liberally controlled, painted Republicans, ordinary, God-fearing Americans, who the majority of them are good people, as white supremacist, racist, KKK flag-wearing, cross-burning members. And that's what they painted them with. And to me, it drove me crazy, because I'm a student, amateur student of history and propaganda. And it's amazing to me how it is so obvious to me, the propaganda and the techniques and the logical fallacies that are being used in the mainstream media. And it's hard for me to grapple with the fact that, why don't others see it? If it's so clear to me and I'm not that smart, why can't others see it, Chuck? Why?
Well, I can tell you another reason why they can't see it that a lot of people never get to. You know, they say, all right, our education system, you know, the primary basic education system is bad because of this and that, and the third thing. That is true. That is true, you know, to some degree. I mean, but on the other hand, it's really got to do with the materials that education system has to work with. And quite frankly, academia is always loaded with disinformation that is just on board right away in the history books, the way these things are written. You know, historians that are hired are not there to tell stories that they don't want told, okay? And here's an interesting, like, just random piece of perspective, right?
Right.
Our friends in Australia, the cousins to the Americas, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, I think of them as our lost cousins. They speak a little differently, but they speak the same language. They have a similar culture, I mean, to some degree. And I'm not saying they have Florida culture, but they have theirs.
I love Australians. Now, I want to go there one of these days.
Yeah, not right now, because I ain't taking no shot. But anyway, just saying, back to the point. What did they teach us about in school about Australia, basically? What was the impression they gave us? You know, back in the days when we didn't have the internet, when we were sitting there faced with a book, okay, the section in your, you know, world history, your just getting to know geography and all that, yeah, they showed us the island nation. They showed us that it was a continent. They said, look, there's koala bears and there's crocodiles and there's some other stuff there, you know. All right, kangaroos, right? And what did they tell us about the history of that nation? In short, it would take up about a page normally. The only thing that took up less in my history book was the JFK assassination. And quite frankly, my history books were at least 10 years old because I, you know, started in a very poor school. So you had like two sentences on the JFK assassination, which had only happened, you know, the year before the book was published, even though I was in school like 10 years later or 15 years later. Anyway, whatever. All right. The thing is, what did they tell us about Australia? Basically, this is kind of how it went for a whole page with a picture of a koala bear and eucalyptus leaves, okay, and maybe a bush person taking up part of the page. They would say that at a certain point, this was just a prison colony, a place where the British Crown sent undesirables, and eventually the undesirables took over the continent. Okay, that's all you need to know. Oh, and by the way, there were indigenous people who don't live along the coast because all those people, they live along the coast. You know, those people that took over the colony, they live on the coast, but in the center of the, or toward the center anyway, of this continent, there are these other people who are Bush people. And I think that's about where it stopped. That was it. Okay. Like that is the whole of what Australia was. Right. So all I'm saying is that the stuff that they give us in the basic education quite often is so superficial and so lacking in any sort of context. Okay. Any sort of, I mean, they're not granular. Like we talked about Reuters being, you know, extremely granular and occasionally making the mistake of actually informing people as opposed to masochistically telling you horrible details. I mean, I can't even count how many times I'm sitting there reading a Reuters news story and going, yeah, this is horrible. But anyway, all of that having been said, this is what they would give you. And they tell you, you've been educated. The point is that you must at all times educate yourself, Dave. And you got to keep reaching for it. You got to keep digging. You got to keep looking for yourself and independently determine what is legitimate history. What is legitimate current events? What is legitimate within the language? How the etymology has emerged? Look, it's a huge task, but I say continuing education, self-motivated, is the only way to go. What do you think, Dave?
I agree with you fully. I think the minute you stop learning is the minute you're done, in my opinion. Maybe I'm weird. Well, growing up as a kid, my favorite shows was PBS, and I love Schoolhouse Rock. Anything that was informational. I've been a documentary junkie. I find that as my form of entertainment. And
no, fair enough. But look, we're out of time for the education that was today here on the Chuck O'Chelly Show. And I got to say, it's been an eventful week in my mind. Hopefully you, the listener, have also found it eventful and interesting as we've gone further and further into different things, and who knows what's yet to come, because as I keep reminding you, tomorrow is certainly not promised, and today might be strange, but you don't have to let it be a day where you don't educate yourself about something new. Reach out, learn, and continue on. TNTradio.live. Enjoy.